Put your hands together again. Oh, hallelujah. God is so, so good. So wonderful. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We had such a great time with Brother and Sister Gibbs this morning. They were scheduled to be with us tonight, and then he received a call that he has to be in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, I think, tomorrow night. So I talked to Brother Seidel just before service, and he had spoken at the AIM service this afternoon, and they were eating, and they were loaded and ready to go. So they're going to be traveling quite late tonight and then getting up pretty early to make that appointment down there. But I will say that when we presented the special needs, one family here in our church bought and paid for one of the tents, $4,500. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm not for sure what other needs were met or what the offering was or the PIM. As you know, Pastor Roy is out at a men's retreat in Wyoming. And then Sister Jessica is on vacation, so I'm not for sure just I didn't get the report because there's nobody here to give it to me. So I usually ask for it, and Pastor Roy mentioned him being with Jordan, and I don't see Dan. Is Dan Julie's here, but Dan's not here, is he? At any rate, that Jordan's got more energy. Roy was talking about that. So he's the only man that I know of that could take a thread and thread a sewing machine needle while the machine's running. Praise God. So, oh my. So I have been chosen to speak for the Sunday night service. Thank you so much for this opportunity. And I choose to stand. I've had so much of a problem with this neuropathy that I have. You know what that is. It's like your hand going to sleep, you know, but your feet and your leg almost up to your knee goes to sleep. And the needles, you can just feel, and it's about 10 times as bad. So it's a very uncomfortable thing. You can't sleep with it. You pace, walk the floor, do everything you can do, but God has really helped me, and I thank the Lord for that. And then what we're going to do, we're going to ask that the person running the overhead to put the scriptures up as soon as possible. Just bear with Sister Melissa. Sometimes they have a little difficulty getting them up there, but the reason why is because I just had cataract surgery, and I can see the board better than I can see my Bible, and I do have some reading glasses, but I have problems with those. So, praise God! Good to see Brother Lomax, Sister Lomax, here with us always. And this morning, Ember led in the worship, and hon, you did a great job. Great job. Give her a big hand for that. That's great. Yes. And good to see our very own Nikki Nikilski with us. Yes. And she's going to be moving back soon. Everybody clap but her. I might exaggerate a little bit when I said soon, okay. But we love her, and it's just good to see her, and good to see all of you here. Praise God. What I want to do, I want to read from Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. this is kind of a spin-off of Brother Thomas's great message that he preached Wednesday night. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. God bless you. You may be seated. It is believed that Moses wrote the first four books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. And what Moses was doing is he was saying that all of the miracles that you've seen, make sure that you don't forget those. Don't forget the covenant that God made with us. And you have to understand that for the most part, at this writing, they didn't have a Bible. You know, we can open our Bible and we can read about the crossing of the Red Sea and everything. They did not have a Bible. Just like us today, when we see miracles, we don't record them in the Bible because the Bible was finished 2,000 years ago. So there has to be a way in which we remember things. So I want to speak tonight on the subject, lest thou forget. So remember, the Old Testament miracles took place before they had that Bible. An example of that would be the book of Joshua and Judges. We don't know for sure who wrote those two books. It's highly believed that Samuel wrote those. And the book of Judges covers a period of 305 years. And Samuel lived after that. But the Bible says holy men of old wrote as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. So the miracle of Gideon, the 300 men that destroyed the Midianites. The people of Israel, they had to talk about these miracles and keep them alive. When they crossed Jordan, they put up 12 stones. And when they put those 12 stones up, Joshua said, the reason why we're putting these 12 stones up is so that when you take your children by this pile of rocks, you can testify of the crossing of Jordan. And you can tell them what these stones mean. Because they just didn't have the Bible. It wasn't recorded. It wasn't recorded until later. Now we know that the Bible says holy men of old wrote as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. Now, you've heard me make this statement. I believe the Bible from Genesis to maps. I mean, I believe it all. I've been challenged by some of the denominal ministers here in the Madison area, stating to me that they didn't believe that all of the Bible was real. And the stories of Noah and the ark and Jonah and the whale, I had a minister say, I can't buy into that. I can't believe that. And the reason why that I got involved in a conversation with him was that a young man from his church came to our church and we baptized him. He received the Holy Ghost. And his parents went to the preacher. And the preacher then came and talked with me and said, you know, I just can't believe this. And he said, you're just, he saw all of the names of the new converts. And he said, are these new converts? And I said, yes. He said, how many of them are young people? I said, well, the majority of them under 25. He said, we can't keep our young people. And he asked me, do you have any idea why? I said, well, yes. I said, one, you said you didn't believe all the Bible. So if you get up and read scriptures that you don't even believe happened, and your people, they keep giving and giving and giving into your church and they get nothing in return, so they just walk away. Now, the way we know the Bible is real is not just because it says it's real, which is reason enough to believe it, but because we actually have tried, we have tried the scriptures and found them to be real. When God says he can heal, we keep anointing with oil and we've seen too many people healed. So here's what happens, see. The Bible proves our experience, and our experience proves the Bible. You know, it's like a young man that decides he wants to be an electrician. He gets a job with Jim Riviston. And he goes to MATC, and he studies, and he knew all about electricity. But the textbook tells this young man that electricity will indeed kill you. It'll shock you, you know, and the characteristics of it. Well, he could say, I don't believe this. And you'd probably find him down on the floor dead someday because he didn't believe it. And we say we believe the Bible because we have actually put it to the test. Now, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost 54 years now. I have been preaching 53 years. And I have been pastoring 52 years. And I have seen, you cannot believe the miracles that I have seen. Just, I could write a pretty thick book on all of the miracles that I have seen. And the number of people that have received the Holy Ghost and the demons that I've actually prayed out of people. When we were on Milwaukee Street, we had a lot of walk-in people. And we cast devils out of, I don't know how many people, but a good number of people. Now, because we have no way of recording another book of the Bible, or writing and recording it, it's necessary then that we keep, when we preach and when we testify, and you do the same, that we keep reminding people of how great God is. And don't hesitate to tell somebody about a miracle that God has performed in your life. Praise God. Because it's the way of spreading the word and defining how great and how big God is. Would you like to belong to a church where that they would tell you that God was universal and had all power and yet not believe that anything miraculous would ever happen? That sounds a little bit contradictory to me. Yeah. So what meaneth these stones? Gideon in Judges 6:13, the Bible says, and Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Have you gone through a good number of trials and you say, if God is on my side, if God be with me, why all this trouble? Have you ever done that? I've had my share, I think, of physical problems since probably 10 years now. But my faith in God and His ability to heal is as strong as it's ever been. Just because that I'm suffering from some physical difficulties, I wouldn't hesitate to stand up and preach on divine healing if God led me to preach on that. And truthfully, I feel, they say there's no cure for this neuropathy. I'm sorry. There's no cure for that. But, you know, a miracle is something that takes place in your life or somebody else's life that scientists cannot define as to why it happened. But it happened. And it was God intervening and God coming down and God taking care of it. So why all this trouble then? And where be all those miracles which our fathers told us of? Say, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us unto the hand of the Midianites. Now the reason why that Israel was in the trouble that it was in, when they went into the promised land, it was called the promised land because God had promised it to them. And so they were to go in and they were to run all of the Canaanites out. If they wouldn't leave, then destroy them. But they found out that they could conquer them. Instead of destroying them or running them out, they would just tax them. And they would leave them there. And after a while, those small band of Canaanites grew and they grew and they grew and they grew. And then they challenged the Israelites. After a while, the Israelites were up in the hills and the caves where the fertile ground was. They weren't there. You remember the story of Shamgar? How that he took his ox goad, and just an ox goad, and he slew 1,000 Philistines. So the reason why that they felt God had forsaken them was because they had forsaken the promise that God gave to them. You know, and if God is your God, and of course He's everybody's God, but if you fail and you forsake Him, then don't point your finger at God and say, what's wrong? When you know full well what's wrong is you. It's you. This is the reason why that the first thing when you get sick that you should do, you should fully repent. You notice what the Bible says? Lay hands on the sick. They will be healed. And if they have committed sins, they will be forgiven. So that's the first thing that you want to do. But Gideon, as far as miracles were concerned, that was all in the past. All in the past. Hundreds of years before they crossed the Red Sea. And the pile of stones by Jordan to remind the people that God allowed them to walk across on dry ground. It didn't mean a thing to them anymore. Now, if you look at Joshua, the 10th chapter, verse 13, and 2 Samuel 1, verse 18, 2 Samuel 10, verse 13, I'm sorry, Joshua 10, verse 13. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? There's no book in the Bible called Jasher. And there's no evidence in any ancient manuscript that there was ever a book left out of the Bible. And then what we want to do, we want to go to 2 Samuel 1, verse 18. Also, he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher. Now, most Bible scholars believe, because there's no evidence of this book ever existing, that is, in the ancient manuscripts. And we know that the Bible is complete. Then what book are they talking about? Evidently, somebody by the name of Jasher started a journal, because they didn't have a Bible, and started recording the miracles that took place, so that when Israel gathered, they could read, because they didn't have the Bible where they were recorded. They could read about the greatness of God. It was not an inspired book from God, but the prophets took this book, and they kept a log of all of the great miracles that God had done. Not a part of the Bible. No doubt it was a journal. It was a book of record of miracles, so that Israel would not forget them. The notable Old Testament miracles, the crossing of the Red Sea, the crossing of Jordan, manna that fell from heaven while they were in the wilderness, the sun standing still, the walls of Jericho falling down flat, an axe head floats, Naaman dips himself in Jordan seven times, and he's healed of leprosy. I think what we need to do, we need to believe God for miracles. You know, Brother Thomas, every time he gets up here and preaches, he talks about miracles. And the thing about it is, when we talk about miracles, we see miracles. We talk about new births, we see new births. You go to churches where they don't talk about miracles, and they don't talk about people receiving the Holy Ghost and people being baptized, and it never happens. Now, I've gone to apostolic churches and preached, and when I looked in the baptismal tank, there was about a quarter of an inch of dust in it. And I've talked with pastors, and they said, how do you get so many people baptized? I said, well, for one thing, clean the dust out of this and fill it up with water. And get your people believing when they come into church that every time the door opens, that it'll be somebody that needs to be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. God always keeps his word. Always keeps his word. Now, let me just tell you about some notable miracles. I went to the VA hospital years ago. I was called by a family out of town because their loved one, I'm not for sure how he was related, was in the hospital and he was dying with cancer. When I get in the hospital, VA hospital, he was in a, like they call a ward, you know, had several beds in there. So I pray for this guy. His first name was Charlie. And I pray for Charlie. And, you know, he's got all these tubes and everything hooked up. And His family told me he had about 3 days to live. So I pray for him. 4 or 5 days later, I got a call from a man that was in the bed next to him. And he says, Pastor Grant, I'm Warren Mickelson. He said, I have leukemia. And I was in the bed next to Charlie Peckham. And I said, well, I need to check on Charlie. He said, no need to check in on him. I thought he died. I didn't know. He said, would you believe that night after you left, they began to unplug these tubes and everything because they said, he's taken a real turn for the better. He doesn't need us. And they examined Charlie and found out that he had no lung cancer anymore. They couldn't figure that out. And he said, Charlie left the hospital walking and carrying two suitcases. And he said, I'm going to get my daughter-in-law to come up here and put me in the car. I'm checking myself out of the hospital. He said, they won't want that, but I'm going to do that. And I'm coming over to your church. And he says, I want to be baptized. Now, I never talked to Charlie about being baptized. I just prayed for him. He was just nigh unto death. And I didn't know if it would be possible or not to baptize him. I didn't even know if he was comprehending what I was saying. But he came into our church burning up with a fever. He was not expected to live when we baptized Warren Mickelson in the tank in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He belonged to a large denominational church here in Madison. And I remember going down to the VA hospital and teaching him search for truth. And he said, God's going to fill me with the Holy Ghost. And he started calling me pastor. And he said, I want to be a member of your church. And I remember one night when I was down there, he said, take a chair and pull up by my bed. He was very weak. So I did that, and he looked at me, and he says, Pastor, do you believe I'm going to die? I said, well, you will someday. And the best thing to do is make your heart right with God now. And he understood when we taught lessons in search for truth that he needed the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So we prayed with him, and we prayed with him, and we prayed with him, and I remember leaving the hospital, and his wife called me. It was in the evening. I left about 6:30 or so, I think. His wife called me 11 o'clock at night, and she told me, she said, Pastor, I feel so bad to be a bearer of bad news, but Warren passed away. I felt so bad about that. But we're going to have his funeral at your church because he says that you're his pastor and he's a member of your church. A day or two, I felt just so bad about it. Then she told me something. She said, you know, I got something to tell you, whatever this means. Charlie was in his bed. He was dying of leukemia. And he just raised up on his own power, under his own power. And he held his hands out like this and says, no, you can't come and get me because I'm not ready. No, just leave me alone. He dropped back in his bed. And she said, You know, he started speaking in a foreign language. And for a long time, he spoke in a foreign language. And then all of a sudden, he raised back up. And he looked up toward the ceiling and says, "Now, Holy Ghost, you can come and take me. I'm ready to go." Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The grace of God that worketh salvation hath appeared unto all men. Oh, praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Let's praise the Lord. Lift your hands and just worship the Lord. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. And you may wonder why we keep record of the number of baptisms. I think every time we say that somebody's been filled with the Holy Ghost, it's a faith booster. 168 this year, 7 months of this year. Would you believe since the turn of the century that we have had 4,556 new births? Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. This is why our database, and we keep purging it, but there's over 3,000 people in our database, people that believe they're members of Calvary Gospel Church. I see them all the time. They say, "Oh, Pastor Grant." I don't know who they are. Really, I've learned that just greet them like they come every service. I was in Red Robin several years ago, and my wife and I were eating a hamburger, and there was a guy waiting on us, and he kept calling me Pastor Grant. I thought, I wonder how he knows I'm Pastor Grant. So I told him his name was Josh. I said, "Josh, you need to come to our church." He jumped back like that and held up his hand and said, "Are you kidding me?" I said, "No, I'm not kidding you. You need to come." He said, "Come on, you're kidding me." I said, "No." He said, "I come all the time." Sure enough, it was on Wednesday night. I saw him sitting about where Brother Mike said. There he was, as big as life. He got a job up in Fond du Lac and transferred up there, so I haven't heard from him in a while. I was over at the car wash, and the lady, the cashier, she started talking to me. She called me Pastor Grant, and I said, "Remember Josh, gotta be cool here." So... And then she told me, she said, "I've been trying to get these girls to come to church. Hey, this is my pastor right here. I've been telling you about him and what a good preacher he is and all that, you know." Makes me feel good, you know what I mean? Kind of gives you the big head sometimes. You can reach way out here and scratch your head. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. No, I tell you, there's too many things to humble you. God is just so good, isn't he? Oh, it's fun to be a Christian, isn't it? Yes. Give God a great big hand. Yes. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. So over 4,556. You may say, where are all of those people? Well, the city is full of them, and churches are full of them. And if Madison ever goes through a big crisis, And people claim that this is their church. And where do you think they're going to come? Right here. So when people tell me, oh, I'm a member of your church, I say, well, I'll see you Sunday or I'll see you Wednesday. Just let it go. Good to see you. Praise God, praise God, praise God. You know, I've seen so many miracles. And, you know, Paul says, don't forget the ditch that you were dug out of. Don't forget that. Not that you just dwell on the past. You know, I've felt for a long time, and I appreciate Pastor Roy taking the vision and running with it, and he's doing a remarkable job of reaching out in our city, and I love his ministry. I love him very dearly. But I've always felt that you never want your memories to be greater than your vision. Because if your memories are greater than your vision, you'll begin to live in the past. I don't want that to happen to me, Brother Lomax. Praise God. I am not the pastor, but I can tell you one thing. I want to see Calvary Gospel Church grow and grow until the trumpet blows and takes us all home. I remember God saving me April 15, 1961. I had a stomach ulcer. I had had it for a couple of years. And I got down where I couldn't eat anything. I ate cold mashed potatoes. And I took a thermos bottle of Maalox to work. And I would eat mashed potatoes and Maalox. And that didn't hurt my stomach so bad. But on that morning when Johnny Wilhoit preached a message of salvation, and he talked about hell, and people go in there and people burning. I didn't come to God because I loved him. I came to God because I was afraid I was going to die and go to hell. You know, nowadays it's not popular to speak of hell. It wasn't when Jesus spoke of it either. And it never has been a popular subject. We'd rather talk about the grace of God and how God overlooks our faults and such. But I'm here to tell you that someday you will give an account of all the deeds that you have done, especially evil deeds that you have not repented of. And tonight, if you're committing some sin, regardless of how big or how small, you need to hit this altar down here asking God to forgive you. Praise God. Because you don't know. You do not know when God's going to call your name. Because statistics prove that one out of one dies. And you go over to Roselawn where I have a son that's buried. Brother Manley's there. Brother and Sister Miller are there. And Sister Rowe is there. And many others. I've been over there when they took the little caskets made out of styrofoam. 6, 8-week-old babies. Some teenagers. And then Brother Manley, 100 years old. You don't know when God will call you from this life. Praise God. That's the reason why that every service we have, we've got to believe God. I remember preaching. And I went back, there was a lady then that just sat in her seat, gave the altar call, and I went up to her, and started encouraging her, and she started speaking in tongues. I came back, and she was speaking in English again, and I said, "Now, if you're not satisfied, just lift your hand." She's speaking in tongues again. The third trip that I made, she said, "I want to ask you something." She said, "You talk about speaking in tongues. I'm not for sure what you're talking about." And what she was doing, she was trying to speak English. And she couldn't because the Holy Ghost was so much upon her. And she just spoke in tongues. Her name was Donna. And I said, "Donna, you have received the Holy Ghost. Speaking in tongues is what you've been doing." And I'm telling you, she let it go. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. When I pastored in Shawano, I pastored near the Menominee Indian Reservation. We had Indians that would come and be in our service. And we had one family that could not speak one word of English. They just spoke Potawatomi, I think. And this lady wanted to go to camp, and some of the other Indians, she was telling, said, "You won't understand anything they're saying." When the altar call was given, she came down the front. A group of ladies from another church gathered around her and started praying for her. And so they called me over and said, "You know, we can't get her to yield to the Spirit." And she was speaking perfect English. And I said, "Let me tell you, this lady does not speak English at all." Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Isn't that great? Oh, my. So, when she stopped speaking English, she couldn't understand a word they were saying. But she was just saying, "I thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you for the Holy Ghost." And oh, hallelujah. I mentioned Sister Elaine Moe that we prayed for that was blind. She had sarcoidosis that attacked her optical nerve, and she went blind. When she was healed, she was with us then for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. And then she went down to Arizona to take care of her mom and dad. They were quite elderly. Well, I went to Arizona to preach the camp meeting. And when I got down there, the superintendent told me that someone had requested that they chauffeur Sister Grant and I around. Now, Sister Elaine Moe not only went blind, but she also had seizures, so she couldn't drive. She had to ride the city bus to church. And well, when we saw the car out from our cottage we were staying in, we went out there. It was Sister Mo. She said, "Oh, yeah, I haven't had a seizure in years," she said. Still not wearing her glasses. Didn't need them. We jumped in the car, and all that week she carted us around. Isn't that great? Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. We've seen so many cancer situations. Had a lady in the hospital, had a cancer the size of a lemon under her arm. She wanted me to pray for her, and I did. She was scheduled for surgery the next day, and they couldn't find that lump. Finally, they dismissed her. It was gone. Totally gone. I prayed for a boy that had spinal meningitis, and the doctor was there saying, he really got this bad. And I said, "Well, he wanted to come to our Sunday school next Sunday because he thinks he's going to win a bike." We had a contest going. He said, "Well, it's Saturday. I don't think he's going to be there." I prayed for him. Would you believe that the next morning I saw the door open and he walks in? And he came with his grandmother, and his grandmother says, the doctor says, I must have made a mistake. Can't find anything wrong with him. You see, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And we need to think on these miracles, lest we forget that God is a miracle worker. You need a better job? He can give you one. You need a better home? He can give you one. You need better transportation? He can supply you with a better car. He's God. You need a touch of God in your body? He can heal you. Why? Because he's God. And when we think on these miracles, guess what happens? Our faith starts to build. I can't read my Bible without thinking of some of these miracles. I've seen thousands of miracles over the years. And look at the people I've seen in the 51 or 52 years I've been pastoring that's been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. We used to take them down to Angelina River and baptize them by car light at night. We had one man, he smoked so and had such cigarette breath, and he wanted the Holy Ghost, and I told him, I said, you're going to have to brush your teeth and get that. He says, I don't have a toothbrush. It didn't surprise me. I said, well, we'll run by the house and get one. I got Sister Grant's toothbrush. She said, why are you getting my toothbrush? I said, I don't know. I just picked one up, hon. We got a tube of toothpaste, and we said, okay, put this on and brush your teeth. Get rid of that cigarette breath. I can't feature, I said, God speaking through you with all that nicotine there. You know what happened? He brushed his teeth, went out in the river, and I baptized him, and he started speaking in tongues. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise. Oh, what a great God. This Bible is real. I say, this Bible is real. I say, this Bible is real. This Bible is real. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're suffering from whatever, depression, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. I've just seen people healed of so many things. What do you need from God tonight? But Brother Grant, I've come down to the altar time after time after time, and it hasn't happened. But every time you come, you need to start believing, this is my night. This is my night. But if you believe, all things are possible. I'd like for you to stand. I'd like for our choir members to come back. Ephesians 3:20. Now this is a scripture that challenges me. Down to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now you can ask for a lot of things, but it doesn't say that you just ask. Things that you can't even think would happen to you can according to the power that worketh in us. So the first thing you need to do tonight, if you need a miracle, get that power working in you. I say, get that power working in you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. That's it. Put your hands together again. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, praise God, praise God. According to the power that worketh within you. My Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus. Oh, praise God. If you need a healing tonight, come and stand over here. We have ministers that would be glad to anoint you with oil. Praise God. You may have been prayed for today, but come believing tonight. If you've got some problems and you've been working on them, but somehow you just haven't seen the solution, come and just stand right in front of the pulpit. If you need the Holy Ghost or refilling of the Holy Ghost, come and stand over here on your right. Oh, praise God. Come on down. Come on down tonight. What a great God. What a great God. What a great God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. He's a great God. He's a wonderful God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Oh, Jesus, we love you.
Father, creator,
we love you. We love you.
Hold our hearts together.
Now, we need some of our ladies to come and pray with these ladies that are standing in front of the pulpit here. Step out and come on and pray with them.
Your beauty.